Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to One Designer, Two Ideas. I am Pam, your host and the redesigner here. We come your way each Monday at 7:30 through the facilities of blogtalkradio.com. This network is filled with a number of talented hosts touching on a number of subjects. Page through the programming page to find a show, in addition to mine, that may interest you. I would love to hear from you while the show is going on. You know, I left the show last week. There was a caller in queue. I made the mistake, and I think I posted this at the Facebook page. I made the mistake of giving you guys the number, but forgetting to tell you, you have to, if you want to talk to me, you would need to please press 1. So if you want to call into the studio, you are so welcome to do that. The number is 1-347-326-9930. That is 1-347-326-9930. If you want to join in on the conversation, please press 1 to talk. That was what I failed to tell you guys the last week. But I ended the show last week, and I noticed there was a caller in queue. And if you are listening tonight, I so apologize. I guess I have a friend named Kim who is also a talk show host here at Blog Talk Radio. And I was listening to her the other night, and she said, "Don't forget to press 1. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I forget to tell my callers that. So please, if you guys want to talk to me, please press 1. Well, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I really did. If any of you have visited the One Designer Facebook page, you have seen since Thanksgiving, you know that I cooked the milk can supper just like I told you guys I would. Yes, I did. And I have the pictures to prove it. If you guys remember my story, my two daughters who had issues with our annual Thanksgiving turkey feast caused this family to blaze a different trail this year. While watching Chris Kimball on Create TV's TV show's Cook's Country, I learned of the milk can supper. Kimball connected its roots and creation back to the old West days out on the prairie. Using what was available to them like a milk can, these herders filled it with all sorts of vegetables and meat and cooked it over a campfire to feed all that were there. Julia, one of the recipe experts at Cook's Country, found a modern way to wrangle the milk can supper, and I was intrigued. I know that kitchen mavens always say, and they suggest, not to try new recipes on family meals or that involve guests. But I needed to do something. I wanted to, and so I did. All 5 of my children and 6 of my 8 grandchildren enjoyed the milk can supper. Julia suggested using a Dutch oven. I found them to be expensive, so I used a Teflon bottom stew pot that I found at Walmart that cost $10.96. The recipe called for red skin potatoes whole, cabbage quartered, many ears of corn on the cob, carrots, onions, bay leaves, salt and pepper, all cooked in one pot. And did I cook it in one pot? The meat was sausage, but I also baked ham just to make sure that we had extra. I used a Kroger's brand of a mild Italian sausage, with the liquid in the milk can supper being beer. Now this was something that surprised my children, because my children know I don't drink liquor, and because I don't know if I've ever told this story, but when I was growing up, my cousin Andriette used to roll her wig with beer. And that kind of, that kind of gave me a negative feeling toward beer. But anyway, and I don't drink liquor, so it was just my kids were kind of surprised that the milk, you know, the liquid in the dinner was beer. But I added water to it, and she also Julia also said that the alcohol of the beer would cook off during the cooking boiling process. It was so good. Whatever attracts my kids, if my kids ate it, it had to be good, and I really did enjoy it myself, you know. But we would not have moved away from our traditional turkey and dressing and greens and candy sweets and cranberry sauce and all of what we usually have if it had not been for my two daughters letting me know how they felt about the meal, you know, about the same Thanksgiving dinner we've had for years and years and years. And change is good. I'm glad we did it. And I was really proud. One, I was really proud of it, that it really turned out. Oh, and I also made a cake from scratch. Yes, I did. Which was another thing that kind of knocked my children's socks off. Because I don't think I have fixed a cake from scratch in years. And I think they were just intrigued by the meal, but also intrigued that mom was making different steps. And my daughter, my 24-year-old, said, okay, so you wait until we all grown and move out before you try something new. But it was really good. And I was so glad that they enjoyed it. So I'm glad that, you know, I think that, you know, if you have not watched Chris Kimball and the recipe experts at Cook's Country and its sister show, which is A Test Kitchen, you may be missing out on different ways to look and prepare food. This is all on Create TV, which is on public television. So you might have to tune into that station that always hosts those concerts that you probably, you know, you haven't looked at in a while. But listen, we're going to get on with our show tonight, which is all about style. You know, style, how to determine what is our interior design style? And if we don't have one, how do we create it? What is included in that? Well, when you go and buy furniture or hire an interior designer or redesigner, the first question that I always ask a client is, what is their style? Some have a clear idea of what their style is, and, well, some don't. Some of us, on the, you know, we have no clue what our styles are, but we do know what we like and what we don't like and what we would like to use to decorate our homes. So what is your style? Do you have one? Well, let's see. If you like old world features, you may have a traditional style where you are attracted to furniture with features of the American and British 18th and 19th centuries. Pieces that have dressmaker fabrics such as velvet and silk and jacquard with kick pleats and button tufting and bouillon fringe. If you like those things, that might be your style, may be traditional. Chairs and tables may have turned legs that might attract you. You know, that S shape. I love those. I do love those, though. Those chairs, older chairs with the S-shaped legs curving outward at the knee, back in as it moves down the leg and then out again, and is usually finished in dark wood. That really includes cherry. The traditional style, some say, is an elegant way to celebrate old world charm. Not for everyone, but that might be your style. If you like clean lines in your rooms, you may have a more contemporary or modern style. There, the fabrics are more solid, that involve industrial materials like metal and glass and furniture on the edges, and probably sitting and you appreciating more in open floor plans with design that continues throughout the rooms. Contemporary and modern style soft furniture makes it easier to be comfortable, given the ability to live in the space and maybe not treat the rooms as a trophy, as as my mom used to treat our living room growing up. The living room in our home, and I know if you have been listening to my show for a while, you know that my mother thought that the living room was a trophy room. It was only where you walked through. You didn't look. You bowed as you walked through. You didn't sit. You didn't stand. And so you just kept moving. And growing up, mom only used it. We really just used the living room when company was there. It wasn't somewhere that we sat on a nightly basis. What am I saying? I'm saying nightly. We didn't sit there weekly. The living room was off limits. And when I think about even my grandmother's house, you walked in the front door. There was a runner at the front door. Her entrance was double at my grandmother's house. It was a double entrance. It was double door entrance. And when you got through the second door, there was a runner, and the runner directed you back to the back of the house. The living room in my grandmother's house, again, was not a place that we sat on a regular basis. Now, she might sit in one of the chairs, her and Grandpa, while we sat in the dining room, but that was really not – I guess it's their generation, both my grandmother's and my mother's. The living room was just not a place for casual sitting, casual visiting, you know, casually existing. Well, in contemporary and modern styles, every room is a room to live in. It is, the whole house is a living room, but not trophy like it was back in those days when I was growing up and mom ushered you. Well, she didn't usher you. I think it was just like an understanding that that she instilled in us that you kept going. You just did not sit in the living room. But in contemporary and modern style living, the entire house is the living room. Which and that with five kids, I think that's the style that I had. We lived in every room in our house. Well, if you are a fan of homespun, maybe your style is country. If you like, it involves braided fabric, ruffled skirts on upholstered seating pieces, and more gingham than any other style. Most of the furniture is trestle and rustic, with farm-style tables made in medium to light wood, such as oak and pine. And so, and traditionally, I think, if country is your style, the floors are usually wood. If you like weaved baskets that hold magazines, while hooked rustic rugs cover the floors, area rugs, your style might be country. According to Heather Paper, author of Decorating Ideas That Work, the first mention of country style conjures up images of distressed wooden furniture with wrought iron hardwood. But, she adds, that would be considered the American country interpretation. She adds, however, there are a number of other translations of country that include, but are not limited to, English, French, English country, French country, Scandinavian country, and American Southwest country, that she says is influenced by Spanish and Native American cultures. Then there is the eclectic style, or as I call it, the potluck of interior design style. Listen, we're going to get back to that. I'm going to take a short break. You guys want to call in, feel free to join in on this conversation. Press 1 to talk to me. The number is 1-347-326-9930. That is 1-347-326-9930. Please press 1 to talk. you for coming back with me. Listen, I also wanted to tell you, too, I got the chat room open as well. If you don't want to call in but you want to be part of this conversation, feel free to add a chat to talk to us in the chat room. This is great. I got the chat room open. With you guys, with the callers, I'm feeling pretty good. And we tonight are talking about interior style, interior design style. We went through a few. We talked about traditional. We've talked about contemporary and modern. We've talked about country, American country. And we've learned that there's not just American country, but there's also English and French, Scandinavian, and American Southwest country. I'm going to let you guys figure out, do a little research, and let's see the differences between all the country designs. But whatever attracts you is the style that you should have in your home. But we're going to get back to this, because we talked about eclectic. Then there is the eclectic style, and I told you before the break that I call it a potluck of sorts of interior style. It's a collection of a lot of things, but let's talk about this. Let's hear what Heather Paper says. She says, truth be told, most of us are probably fit in this category. It is a mixture of all styles. Eclectic interiors involve a variety of styles and creates a cohesive scheme. One just doesn't throw everything in the room together for the sake of being eclectic and say, my style is eclectic. Paper says, and I certainly agree with her, there must be a common thread that weaves different altogether. It could be the color. It could be the form. It could be scale. It could be that everything in the room has wood in it. It has something should connect everything in the room. We can't just go all willy-nilly and put anything in the room and say, this is my eclectic interior design style. Something has to connect it. We don't want it to look like clutter. We want it to look like design. So to keep it so that it can look like design, we need something, that will connect the pieces. I certainly agree. For an example, I was thinking of my friends that I think have combined styles together, and you probably wouldn't know it unless they told you. My first example is my friend Jo and her husband Bruce. They have a modern dining room table, but the table is surrounded by traditional old world wood and fabric chairs given to her by Bruce's mom. Now, unless you know the story, you would not know that this set really isn't. But the woods look so much alike, and the table complements the chairs complement the table. Modern has come together with traditional, and it looks very good. That is a very good example of combining styles and making it work. I love it. I really do. And as I said, unless you know the story, you wouldn't know that the set is not a set. That comes to their home from two different time periods. Paper notes we would all be surprised how dissimilar pieces can be put together to look cohesive. I love that word, cohesive. And then there is the minimalist style, where less seems to be more, where one cannot figure out where it starts and ends, where the kitchen cabinets look like the front of the refrigerator that looks like the front of the dishwasher. There are fewer accessories and knickknacks and paddywhacks, and you may not be able to give your dog a bone because it would probably be in a drawer somewhere. There's nothing wrong with minimalistic. It's less to clean. I'll give it that. But to me, my opinion, and well, I just kind of think it looks industrial. And I think that industrial is cold. It's cold, but we're gonna talk about that. If you don't have a style for your home, it's fine, because it is your home. I mean, if you are happy with what you have, I say go for it. I'm not a designer, and I know you see interior designers and redesigners on television, and they are pushing their ideas on a client. I give you my suggestions. If you hire me to redesign a room, I give you the best that I have. I give you my idea. Where you go with it at the end, well, it's up to you. And I'm not bothered. I will do exactly what you ask me to do with the materials that you ask me to do. I am not a designer that wants you to live by my rules. It's my way or the highway. No, it's your house. And I always tell my clients that I want you to be happy. If you know, like when I did the family room for Kathy and Eric, I suggested, because Eric is 6'4", I had suggested that when we got the new couch, that it should have a chaise on the end because of his height. I thought that would be something that he would be a little bit more comfortable for him. Well, when we discussed this, Kathy wasn't on board with that. And I said, okay. Ultimately, and I don't know if she even mentioned this to him when they were shopping, they ended up getting a couch, a microfiber couch with a chaise on the end, which I was happy that they did that. But, I would have worked with whatever she purchased. That would have been fine with me. It's not my way or the highway. You're hiring me to help you fall in love with a room all over again. However that you feel that you want to fall in love with, I'm on your side. I give you the best knowledge that I can from my research, from what I've learned as being an interior redesigner, and we go from there. It's not incumbent on you to to do everything I suggest. I want you happy. I want you, and I actually want you to come back, and just in case you want to change it again. I don't want you to forget, me and the services that I offer. I do what you ask. But but if you are in search of a style, here are a few tips from a very unlikely source. I during my research for this show, I stumbled upon an article in a November 2012 magazine. Who needs to purge magazines? That would be me. That showcase ways to cultivate our own personal style. This is from the fashion industry. But listen, a fashion instructor from the Art Institute of Charlotte said personal style was a brand that communicated who we are without saying a word. Yes. This being more about fashion, the author gave examples of those who had developed their own brand, their own look, and we knew them by that look. So I thought, why can't we do that with our homes? Why not? Why can't we brand our homes? Just like we go out and say a TAM is part of our, no matter where we go or what we do, but a TAM is part of our outfit. People know. I have a friend named Darcy. We know her by her TAM because she always, it's Darcy. And that is her brand. That is her design. She loves her TAM. I bought her one for Christmas, one Christmas. And she loves that hat. She loves hats. I have a friend named Kim. As I said, she is a host here at Blog Talk Radio. You know her by her hats, different hats. So her brand is, that's how we know her. We know her. We know that Kim loves hats. So why couldn't our homes be our brand? If we love color, then our homes are filled with color. We love stainless steel, then our kitchen is full of stainless steel. People should know us by our style. If we have a style, it should be something that people say, yeah, that's Pam's house. I knew that was Pam's house. Now, mine would be a lot of wall hangings. I love wall hangings and things that, because I design wall hangings, fabric wall hangings, and they hang in my house. So people know, oh, yeah, I come to my house, oh, yep, I'm not surprised there's a wall hanging, because that may be my brand. So I'm going to give you these suggestions that this fashion instructor wrote in this article, but we're going to turn this around to discover and find our style and brand for our homes. So here's what the article suggests: our first step should be defining our lifestyles by asking ourselves who we are and what do we value. That's one. She continues to write. She says, the more people understand who they are and what they value, they are less likely to have things around them that don't fit. I love that. Clutter-free. Mm-hmm. Now, number two, determine what fits best. Number three, there is no room for clutter. If it does not fit who we are today, donate it, give it away, or put it at the curb. Number four, put your knowledge to work. Buy only what fits your lifestyle. Add to our homes only what we want in our rooms to make our style, create our style, and emphasize our style. Buy only things that do that. She says, and I love this, don't fall victim to trends. Trends can derail your brand, the article adds. My lifestyle is laid back. I would say that I'm more modern, and I think it's because I have so many grandchildren. I have five children, eight grandchildren. I have a new grandson. He was born. Percy was born this past weekend as well. So we had a great dinner and a new born in our family. Percy McHale is his name. But it says trends don't fall victim to it. Everyone, you know, there are many trends out there. People set trends, and because person A has set that trend and they like it, so many people follow suit. And that's what happens with entertainers. That's what happens. We want to be like them. We want to emulate them. So if they are celebrating a red couch, then boom. What do you bet that every furniture store is going to have a run on people that want a red couch? Don't fall victim to trends. Follow, blaze your own trail. Do what you like. Search within yourself. Make your home all about you. And I have said this, I know I've said this 1,000 times. Make home about you, because like Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, there is no place like home. When we become stressed, when we are happy, whatever, what is the first thing we want to do? We want to go home. So home should be all about you, your style, your trend, your trend, your brand, your fit. It should make you feel good. It should make you feel warm. It should make you feel comfortable. It should make you feel good. It should make you feel like it is your best friend. And if your home is not doing these things for you, you might need to reassess your design and your feelings that you have while you're in there. I'm telling you, I just think it is important that home be everything that you need. You know, there were trends like stainless steel, and I am not a stainless steel person. As I said earlier, that stainless steel seems so cold and industrial to me. I think it lacks personality. I, on the other hand, like things around me that have some personality, that make me want to smile, that make me feel good. So it's nothing wrong with stainless steel. My friend Rebecca, she loves stainless steel and black granite, and I'm not there, but people love what they love. Anyway, I want you to be happy wherever you... Designers have defined interior styles for the masses, but you have to define interior style for you and your home and your family. It is because it is your home that we are talking about. So I will post these steps to create your own brand and your own trend and your own style at the Facebook page. I will do that. I hope that this was, I really do hope that this show was helpful to you if you are in search of a style for your home or for your room or for your area, because it doesn't have to be the entire home. It could be a room. If you have a room, make it all about you, because it is. Because, see, that one word in there was Y-O-U-R, your room. Yes. I hope this show has been helpful to you. I will post the industry style and the steps to create your own brand and style in interior design at the Facebook page. If you have any comments or questions about this or any One Designer, Two Ideas show, please leave them at the Facebook page. That address is www.facebook.com/onedesignertwoideas. That is www.facebook.com/onedesignertwoideas. We will be back on Thursday at 10 p.m. with a decor short and preview show, and then we'll be right back here next Monday at this 7:30 hour. Before we go, though, I want to give you my worthwhile moment. I know that we started this thing, you know, 3 weeks ago. We started off with the Barry Manilow Music Project, and then last week we talked about the Salvation Army Red Kettle campaign. Well, this week we're talking about St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, and its domestic affiliates throughout the country. St. Jude was founded by entertainer Danny Thomas, and I know you younger people don't know who that is, but he was an entertainer in 1962 with help from two friends on the premise that no child should die in the dawn of life. The idea resulted from a promise that Thomas had made, and he was a Catholic, that he had made to a saint years before the hospital was founded. Thomas was a comedian who was struggling to get a break in his career and living paycheck to paycheck. When his first child was born, he attended Mass in Detroit and put his last $7 in the offering plate. He prayed to St. Jude Thaddeus for means to provide for his family, and about a week later, he obtained a job that paid 10 times what he had put in the offering plate. After that, Thomas believed in the power of prayer. He promised St. Jude Thaddeus that if he made him successful, he would one day build a shrine to him. Years later, Thomas became an extremely successful comedian and built St. Jude Children's Research Hospital as a shrine to St. Jude Thaddeus to honor his promise. In 1957, Thomas founded the American Lebanese Syrian Associated Charities, which helped him realize his dream. That organization also is also the fundraising organization at St. Jude. Since St. Jude opened its doors in 1962, the ALSAC has had the responsibility of raising the necessary funds to keep the hospital open. Memphis was chosen as a suggestion of Roman Catholic Cardinal Samuel Stritch, a Tennessee native who had been a spiritual advisor to Thomas since he presided at Thomas's confirmation in his boyhood home of Toledo, Ohio. Although it was named after Thomas's patron saint, St. Jude is not a Catholic hospital and not affiliated with any religious organization. Discoveries at St. Jude have completely changed how doctors treat children with cancer and other catastrophic illnesses. St. Jude has treated children from across the United States and from more than 70 countries. Doctors across the world consult with St. Jude on their toughest cases. Also, St. Jude has an international outreach program to improve the survival rates of children with catastrophic illnesses worldwide through the transfer of knowledge, technology, and organizational skills. All medically eligible patients who are accepted for treatment at St. Jude are treated without regard to family's ability to pay. St. Jude is one of the few pediatric research organizations in the United States where families never pay for treatment that are not covered by insurance, and families without insurance are never asked to pay. In addition to providing medical services to eligible patients, St. Jude also assists families with transportation, lodging, and meals. Now, I have to tell you, I said earlier that this was a personal thing for me, and it is. My family learned, well, of course, we knew about St. Jude Midwest affiliate in Peoria. Okay, I knew about that hospital. But we became personally introduced to the hospital when my grandson Brandon was born. He was born with hemophilia, which is a blood disease where his blood does not clot like everyone else's. Hours after he was circumcised, the bleeding afterward would not stop. He was medevaced to Peoria. From that moment on, St. Jude has become a cause for this family. Please make it a cause for you. Give the gift of life to St. Jude. How, you ask? So many ways, but through their own website, you see how you can help. I will post their contribution website on the One Designer 2ID Facebook page as well. If you heard of the St. Jude Run, grab 10 of your friends together, collect funds, and run. I know that from the Peoria Hospital, there is a St. Jude Run. Runners run from Peoria, Illinois, to Memphis and donate all the funds that they collected throughout this organization for this run. They donate all of that money to the hospital. This is a worthwhile project, and this hospital, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, is a worthwhile moment for tonight. I appreciate you listening to our show. I hope that you learn more about St. Jude. I hope that you enjoy that something I said tonight will help you develop your style, your brand, and that you develop your own trend. And I really do appreciate you listening to us this evening. This has been Pam of One Designer, Two Ideas. Thank you for listening. Have a great night. Yes, that milk and supper. Right. Good night, all.